Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Make a song.
Everybody from north to south, east to west, and everyone in the 42 countries around the world that tunes in, I appreciate you. Also, you know, it's going to be a special, special night because first and foremost, that song was by Bishop Bullwinkle, one of my close, intimate friends. Rest his soul, he's gone on in glory. But, you know, our guest tonight is Pastor James Allen. But before I bring him on, I want to say hello to my co-host, Chris Michael Ward. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, darling. I'm doing good. You know, when I wake up, open my eyes in my right mind, that's a good day for me. So, you know,
yeah.
Our guest tonight is a minister, you know, who had his own experience with adultery, and he opens up and shares his imperfection as a man. You know, and this is perfect because a lot of y'all people in the church, you know, trying to be upstanding and, you know, perpetrating a fraud. You know who you are. I'm pointing my fingers at you. You know, you're never honest, but you know something, just because you're cleaning yourself up, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, you got the right to point your fingers at somebody else because we're all imperfect. Because if we was perfect, Christ would need to come down here to save our soul. So without further ado, this Minister James Allen, he wrote this book, Hypocrisy in the Church. I implore y'all before I bring him on, get the book, Hypocrisy in the Church. You can get it on Amazon and other places, but put it in your search engine. Google that, Hypocrisy in the Church by James Allen. It's a picture of him and his son on the front cover. It will bless your soul. And without further ado, how you doing, James?
I'm doing great, and I'm just so excited to be a part of this amazing, amazing show. Listening to you is just stirring something on the inside, and I'm just so excited.
Oh well, bless your heart, and for everybody out there, we're doing this in Mobile, Alabama, you know, because Mr. Allen, he had the foresight to come down here and also share the word and share his books, you know, because we need to make this thing a global thing, you know, because Amazon is overseas like it is in the United States. You know, get the book, read it for yourself, because you know something, if you don't read it, you'll be missing out on a blessing because we all fall short, you know. And
yes, yes.
This is going, you know, we out here in the elements. Be hearing background noises, don't pay it no mind. People coming by talking and everything, but I'm so glad he's here to give me some of his time. So, James, tell us a little bit about yourself, baby.
Could you please repeat that?
I said, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I am just an ordinary guy trying to do some extraordinary things for the kingdom.
Hello.
but with the emphasis on ordinary, I don't like a lot of handles, pastors, bishops. I respect those who have them, and I give them their due, respect and reverence for that. But I choose not to really be on that because I want people to see me for who I am. I'm just a vessel, and I'm a flawed vessel at that. But God, He loves using those flawed vessels, because He get more glory out of those. He said, I've taken the weak things to confound the strong, the foolish thing to confound the wise. He said, if I do something in somebody who's already strong, they'll mistake my power for His power. But when I can do something in someone weak like Allen, they'll know it must be the power of God, because He couldn't do anything like that to me. And so I've just been trying to do my part in terms of advancing the kingdom, not religion, but the kingdom. And the book itself was birthed out of a lifetime of experience being in the church, going through the formalities, the process, everybody trying to portray themselves in many ways they're not. And one of the one of the examples of being a hypocrite is not that I attend church and do wrong, but an example of being a hypocrite is that I attend church and act like I don't do wrong because I attend church. Jesus,
I like what
you
just said.
Term.
You can just say that one more time. I want you to hear what you just said. That's powerful.
Oh, yeah. One of the examples of being a hypocrite is not that you attend church and still do wrong, but an example of being a hypocrite is that you attend church and act like you don't do wrong because you attend church. Now,
Amen.
That's what messes people up. You see, because when you mess up, when you come short, it's human. We understand that. We respect that. But when you've been trying to act like you're beyond and above the rest of us, that you're beyond sin, you're beyond reproach, and then when we find out you sin and come short, now that word is hurled at you. And so what we talk about is the hypocrisy of the church and taking off the mask, because the word hypocrisy, it comes from this Greek word denoting the Greek actors. When they performed on stage, they wore masks.
Yeah.
That's how they did their performance. And that's what church folk do a lot. They put on performances. They're hiding behind masks.
Every day.
And so it's hypocritous. And what we get our words, hypocrite. And so what we want to do is just take off those masks and let people see that we are servants of God, we are saved, but yet we're still human. There's a powerful scripture that says Elias was a man subject to like passion that we are. He says Elijah, one of the greatest prophets to ever live. The scripture says he was a man subject to like passion. He wasn't God, he wasn't deity, but he was a man. He was able to do extraordinary things, but yet he was a man. And then they said he was subject to like passions. He had the same vulnerabilities. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to convey to the people, to the world. The entire book is about this. It's about how does the church respond to sin? Because how the church responds to sin and wrongdoing is critical to the orthodoxy of the church. Because I suggest, and I submit in the book, that the church has been dealing with people who do wrong in a way that's antithetical to the teachings of Christ. Look at how he treated people. There was one example. He was at the house of Simon the Pharisee. This was a religious leader, and there was a whore who showed up with an alabaster box of ointment. And she came, she started crying. She washed the feet of Jesus with her tears, and she dried them with her hair. She started kissing his feet. And then she opened that alabaster box of ointment and anointed his feet. Now watch this. Simon said within himself, Jesus must not be a real prophet, because if he would have known what man of woman she was, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. In other words, if he would have known that she was a whore, she would. And Jesus said this. He said, I got a problem. Now listen, two people was there. You had the prostitute, you had the whore, and you had the religious leader. And Jesus said, I got a problem. But his problem was not with the whore. It was with the religious leader judging the whore. Jesus said this. Listen, he said, Simon, since I've been in your house, you didn't offer me water to wash my feet. You didn't offer me the customary greeting of a kiss. He said, you didn't anoint me with oil. But this woman, since I've been in your house, she has not ceased. In other words, he says, this is what happened. Religious people, they judge, they criticize, they condemn. But Jesus saw a whore, a woman who sold her body for money. And he said, I accept her gift. I accept her oil. She's not disqualified because of her sin. And so what we're conveying to the church, we have been disqualifying people because they are not perfect, because they have flaws. But once you start disqualifying people because of their imperfection, you're going to have to get rid of Moses because he got angry striking a rock. You're going to have to get rid of David because he committed adultery. You're going to have to get rid of Abraham because he lied. You would have to get rid of all of us because Romans That's right. Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Sure.
Sin is a term derived from an archery. It means to miss the mark. And we all come short. And so that's what we're spreading this message, letting people know who've been driven away from the church, saying that they are no longer able to be used. They can't serve because of their imperfection. And I say if the people in the church will take off the mask, you will see that no one in the church is perfect.
It's just so passionate
to me.
That you're making that point, because I've seen some people in the church running people away from the church because some people come to church for the first time. They might not be dressed the way they are used to seeing. They might not talk the way they're used to being heard, you know, and they sit there and be so judgmental that they run people away from the church, you know, and they act like because they done cleaned their act up, it's okay, you know, be all pompous, you know, like can't nobody touch them. But if it was behind closed doors or your family member, you know all the dirt that's going on in your family. So don't come at people and act like, you know, you're better than them.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm a strange bird. I'm going to be who I am. If I wear purple hair, rainbow hair, or whatever, that's Terry Lyle. But I still got a relationship with Christ.
Oh, yeah. See, you know, one of the things that I do, I make sure I stipulate, and I say this, I don't condone sin. I don't just deify sin. Sin is wrong. Sin is when we come short, it's a reality. But what I do is that, let's face the reality. Sin is a reality in all of our lives, and the church acts as though sometimes. It's not, it is. There's an idea that God has for us, but God also understands there's a reality. The scripture says, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. And then it goes right on and says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. In other words, I don't want you to sin, but the reality is that you are. And that's why I've already gave you an advocate. The scripture said we have an advocate, an attorney. In other words, God says, I have hired an attorney for you. I don't need an attorney unless I'm in some kind of trouble. He says, Jesus Christ, he pleads for us. It's the, like, for instance, like the church, and the church does this. We seem to only teach the idea of God, but we never talk about the reality. Okay, now here it is. The ideal of God is Jude 24, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. God can keep you from falling. But then it turns right back around, and in Proverbs it talks about a good man, a just man, falls seven times, and he gets back up again. Now you got two scriptures.
Amen.
One says, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. But then the other one turns around and says, even a good man falls seven. Which one is it? Can he keep you or are you going to fall? Well, both. He can keep you. And that's the idea. But the reality is that even a good man will fall seven times. But there's a resiliency in it. So the church will only talk about, my sister, the Lord can keep you. Yes, he can. But the reality is that there are sometimes we don't avail ourselves to that power. And we will fall.
Yeah.
And when we fall, get back.
Exactly.
I heard you say that in your intro coming in. And that sense of some resiliency in you. Oh, man, when you start talking about from the inside, I'm sorry, I don't know what I'm supposed to discuss this. But you wipe me out when you're talking about, man, broken and dealing with the inside out. That's because there's a resiliency. And that's what it's about. So let's understand. Let's do what Jesus did when they tried to kill that woman because she committed adultery.
Mm-hmm.
They drug her through the streets. Nobody had no sympathy for her. They said, let's kill her. Let's stone her. And Jesus said, I tell you what, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. No one could cast
a
stone because
no one in that
crowd was without sin. Now, what's powerful about this, the scripture says, is that once Jesus said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone, it says, they were convicted in their own conscience. In other words, he had to say something for them to take a look at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus had not said anything, that woman would have died that day. And let me tell you something right now. There are a lot of people dying. The church is condemning. They're dying because no one is saying anything. No, they're watching the hypocrisy. They see the hypocrisy, and they know the hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you didn't just screwed somebody the other night, but don't nobody know about that. But now when this yeah. woman here, her situation got public and you on the bandwagon mm-hmm. trying to destroy her. Come on, baby. Now, listen, mm-hmm. it's more than just adultery. That's a sin. See, when Jesus said he that is without sin cast the first stone, he could have very easily said, okay, if you hadn't committed adultery. But he said, I'm not going to name the sin. He said, if you have not committed sin, you cast a stone. But if you've committed sin, it may not have been adultery, but sin is sin. Your sin is no better than her sin. And he said,
exactly.
if you commit sin, you cannot. And that's where we are. He said, we all have some challenges and issues in our lives.
Yep.
And so
okay.
what we want to do is to awaken the consciousness of the people and see how we're destroying people, just like they almost killed this woman if Jesus had not said anything. Let's drop the stone.
Right.
And acknowledge that we all have some work that we need to do in our lives and quit disqualifying someone because they're not perfect.
Yeah. Well, you know, James, I just like to say for people listening, you know, who don't have a relationship with Christ, I advise you to find a church, find somewhere and learn, you know, about the one who died for you. Because back in biblical days, you know, there was a story about the prodigal son. This father had
mm-hmm.
two sons, and he gave them a lot of riches, and one of them wanted to go out into the world, and he went out to the world, squandered his money and everything, and turned up. He was living with the pigs, eating and slop
mm-hmm.
and everything, and he realized that he couldn't live like that, you know. And back then when he was coming back, you know, his father saw him from a distance, and he was wearing a gown. And back in biblical times, men was not allowed to show their legs. But this man saw his son. He pulled up his gown, and he ran to embrace his son. You know, he didn't care. You know, he said, that's my son. And people need to understand, everybody is a God's child. You know,
that's
don't act like you can't embrace them. I don't care what they've done. That's my son. You know, and that in itself. Can you just visualize this man taking that gown off that he knew he wasn't supposed to show his legs? And he was running. He was running with all that was in him to get to this child. You know, so I ask y'all, please, you know, stop turning people away. You know, it's about love and kindness, and we can do that.
Right.
We can change this thing. But I believe that it might be a little hard to do with all the wars and the gun shootings and all this other stuff, but you know something? God is real. God is good.
He is.
You know, he sent us the Holy Spirit, a comforter, to be here when he ascended to heaven, you know, and he's coming back. But I want you to be in the right place because, trust me, there's two ways you can go when you drop your earthly road. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Hell is not my home. So, you know, I'm trying to bring some people with me to heaven because, you know, that road to heaven, that door is a little narrow, but the one that's going to hell is wide and well-trodden. I ain't trying to go down that road, you know, but, you know, with that, the servant here, James Allen, I want you to stay with me. I'm going to take a little break and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Oh, but you got me.
She's back and better than ever. From the author that brought you Peeling Back the Mask, Insane, Speechless, Forgiveness, and now her most unfiltered and raw work ever, authoress Terry Lyle presents Broken from the Inside, Secrets, Lies, Drugs, and More. Author Terry Lyle reveals it all in her latest but true autobiography blockbuster, Broken from the Inside. Books can be purchased on Amazon.com or send $10 to Cash App at Transform10. Multiple copies will be available for discount. Priority shipping available for additional $9.35.
Now, back to our special guest, the servant of God, James Allen. I'm so glad to have him here to talk about hypocrisy in the church. I ask y'all, the people who know me, I'm a woman about my word. This book is something that you need for your spirit. It's something that you need in your collection. It's something that you need as a Christmas gift. It's something that you need to have, you know. This is powerful because it's real. It's talking about all of us. You know, we've been through some stuff, you know, but we got to learn how to love ourselves and get back in line with the saints.
Yeah.
You know, now my co-host Chris is sitting over there quiet. He got a question. So I'm going to let Chris ask you a question. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, my question, James, is Was it hard to live day to day knowing that the church turned on you? I mean, was it like deal with the community?
I don't think it was as. It is an excellent question. I don't think that element was as hard as, you know, living almost like knowing the environment that I'm working in terms of I pastor the church, I'm a part of the church, and being a part of that community, it's like knowing that if you ever find out, if the people ever find out that you are human, they ever see your humanity. And we all know mm-hmm. whatever issues we're living with. We know what challenges and struggles we have, right?
Exactly.
And so it's almost like an undocumented immigrant living in the shadow. If they ever find out, and I know they're going to banish me. And that was the hardest part, knowing that, hey, I have my flaws. But, you know, you get people think preachers are perfect, think they're some little gods or something. And so mm-hmm. when the revelation, when my transgression in terms of my adultery was revealed and people abandoning you, it was not as bad as what it was living all of these years of knowing that in spite of my flaws, in spite of my shortcomings, see, God still loves me. He loves me now.
Amen.
And so now I feel liberated, and I think whoever abandoned, whoever left, those were people that I didn't need around me. I needed people who understood the message that I'm preaching, that I'm teaching by way of this book, that God wants to use us. You don't have to be perfect for God to use you. And so I feel a sense of freedom, a sense of liberty. I feel better now because I don't have to hide anymore. I don't have to hide the fact that, hey, I'm not perfect. Hey, I am human. I have flaws. And so it's always challenging when people abandon and walk out on you, but it's better to be liberated and to not be under that cloud. Because most, let me share this with you, Chris. Also, you know, I write in the book and I talk about the cover is say I chose my son, because I know so many pastors and most people who read this book, most people who are in church, they know a preacher with a baby outside of his marriage. I'm not saying there's nothing to brag about or to be proud of, but that's the reality. I grew Amen. Up as a kid knowing, hearing stories, well, that's Reverend such and such child, but they don't own them. They don't acknowledge because mm-hmm. they do, they'll lose their church. And I decided that this is my son. I choose my son over the hypocrisy of the church. I'm going to be a father to him. See, integrity is this. It's owning up to your responsibility. It's making sure you take care of your child. You be there for your child. God said this to Solomon, who was David's son. Solomon mm-hmm. prayed for God to be with him. And God said, I tell you what, I'll be with you. I'll bless you if you be like your father David. God said he was a man who walked in integrity of heart. Now, what church in America would say a preacher who committed adultery, who had the woman's husband killed in battle, was a man of integrity? God called David that. God said he was a mm-hmm. man who walked in integrity of heart, because what the world calls integrity. See, integrity is not being perfect. Integrity is not saying I never make a mistake. You know, and we misconstrued certain things. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That, man, we're going to have to get together because you speak words that go off like bombs.
Amen.
Ms. Lousy, you got an anointing on you. That's exactly what it is. It's accountability. Mm-hmm. I'm standing up, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be accountable. And
exactly.
So I feel free. Whom the Son set free is free indeed, and I believe the Lord has freed me. He's freed me to talk
and
to
other
people.
And that right there, being free, James, that right there is powerful, because people don't know what it feels like when you're in the Spirit and you're living a life of Christ. Once the earthly stuff is pushed away and you acknowledge what it is, and you, like, you own it, you're accountable. You know, it's like you can just breathe again. It's like you was all not inside. It's like you can breathe, and the darts won't hurt you that people are showing it, you know, and the looks, because you okay, because God accepts you, because he loves you as you are.
God, yeah.
And I like that word free, because we need to learn how to be free. And they, I hear your precious little boy over there. Look at him, a little cute little sound. I told you we're on location.
Bless
his heart.
He's my gift. He's my gift. And, you know, people look at that, and I share with some people. I say, he's a gift. He's my gift. You know, no matter what the circumstances are, you need to understand that only God can give life. You know, only God can give life, and the joy that he brings. Oh, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's about the realness. It's about the genuineness, and it's about understanding that just because you do wrong and you come short, it doesn't make you a bad person.
It doesn't,
fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious of workers of iniquity. They shall soon be cut down, don't have anything. And the church quote that, and I said, well, look, guess who wrote that? David.
Amen. That's right.
The same one who committed adultery. He wrote that song. You know, David said, "Once was young, now I'm old. Since I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken." He called himself righteous, in spite of what he does, because a wrongdoer doesn't mean you're an evildoer. God knew his heart. That's why he said Psalms 139.
Exactly.
You've searched my heart and you've known me. I mean, it's the only thing people see is. It's your failures. They see your flaws. But David said, Lord, you search me and you know me. See, God, he said, God, you know my heart. You know, and that's why God says, when I went looking for someone, I looked for someone after my own heart. God already knew David was going to mess up. But he said, the fatality of the person is not his mistakes. He said, I chose him because he has my heart. See, no one else had the courage to fight that giant. But David said, I'll fight him. He said, don't defy my God, you uncircumcised Philistine. See, God knew that David would serve him. So yeah, David had his flaws, but God knew he was faithful. Yeah, and let me tell you what's going to get me into heaven. Jesus gives the illustration. He says, in the kingdom of heaven, such like this, it deals with eschatology, the end times. And he says, this is one of the signs that you have the love for God. Not because you run around speaking in tongues, or you wearing long dresses that you trip over when you walk, or you don't. He said, what's going to get you? He said, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink.
And
he said, when?
That's
he said, when you've done it to the. And then the ones who didn't do it, he says, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. He said, I was naked, you didn't clothe me, you didn't come to. They said, when? He said, when you've done it to the least. He said, depart from me into everlasting fire. In other words, you're going to hell not because you cuffed, not because you didn't help somebody. You didn't show love.
Okay.
You know, the greatest way that I show that my love for God, it is the work that I do for people.
Amen.
It's the work that I do for my community. See, and that's what it's about. See, the church overlooked that. They want to see how loud you pray, how loud you speak in tongues. But it's what you do. Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? He said, yes, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He said, do you love me?
That's
he
right.
said, feed my sheep. In other words, he said, you demonstrate your love by the work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
We have a daycare center in a low income area. We have an assisted living facility where we take care of the elderly people. We have a group home. We have 12 teenage girls. It's a CCI, it's a child care institution. We take care of these babies. They're all under our care. I mean, it's a residential program. We care of them. All of them have ISPs, individual service plans. They have a HSP, human service provider. We write out individual service plan, showing these girls what are the things that we need to get them to do so they'll be ready to live on their own when they get out of care of defect. These are things that we do as a ministry. It's the work. It ain't about all that shouting. It's about helping people. And that's where you show the love of God. So for every person who try to condemn someone and say you no longer fit, I submit unto you what Jesus said. See, they didn't believe Jesus was a godly man. Jesus said, well, I tell you what, if you don't believe me, he said, believe the works that I do. When you look at the works I do,
that's
you
right.
know the Father is in me and I am in him. You know, and so I spend so little time now worried about what people are saying, and I'm like, who can I help?
Exactly.
How can I be a blessing to somebody in my community? Oh, God.
They don't do enough of. You know, people see somebody, even like something simple, like if you're on a bus and there's an old person standing up, offer them a seat. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes just being kind is so simplistic. People don't even know how to say hello, because sometimes I'll be out and about and I'll say hello to some people. They don't even smile. It's bitter on the inside, you know. And, you know, I keep smiling anyway because I'm trying to change their negativity. And some people, it's like, they just, ugh, but you just keep pushing pressing forward, keep smiling.
That's right, that's right, that's right. That's absolutely right. It's an amazing thing to see in terms of one of the things that I talk about in the book is that the amazing people that I've met who are not a part of the church. Some of the best people I've ever met, they are no longer they don't have anything to do with the church. And you are, and most of us know people who are good people, but they've been harmed, they've been hurt, they've been treated a certain way. And so what is it about now in terms of, we go places now, tonight we're going to be at a cigar lounge talking to patrons and just fellowshipping with them. And we're going, with my pastor in Germany, when I was in Germany, he pastored me, Elder, he said, our problem is that we are keepers of the aquarium instead of being fishers of men.
I like that.
Oh yeah. Most churches consist of church folk who hop from one church to the next church, and we don't really get people. They come join. I'm coming from such and such Baptist. They just church folk. But God called us to go out into the world. He said, "Be fishers of men." But we don't want to be fishermen. We just keeping the sanctuary of the church. We keeping the aquarium. We so busy with the three little fish in our aquarium. But I'm ready to go to the streets. I'm ready to go to places where real people are. They're hurting, and let them know.
Amen.
You know, let them know. This is not one of those preachers that's flawless. God's still working on me. I don't appear to be what I shall be, but when He appears, I will. But I'm calling in front of God now, and so I'm ready to reach people. I'm ready to touch them, and I'm seeing this message is resonating. When you come to people and you don't convey that you are this holier than thou, beyond, Paul said, "I become all things to all men that I might gain," and that's what I'm not compromising. I'm just becoming all things to all men that I might gain someone for Christ, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited to have an ally in this journey. When I talk to you and I hear your message broken from the inside out. Man, if this thing don't go to New York Times bestseller, broken from the inside out. I have an ally. God is strategically placing people in my life, sowing into me just to tonight, this moment of sowing and speaking. You just fuel me. You fuel me because there's an ally, someone who's aligned with the same message.
Yes.
And I thank God for you. I thank God for you. And I thank God for
you. I thank God for you because I was
moment.
Just so excited that you was going to be my guest on my show and the topic. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, because I can reach some people, but I want to reach a broader sect of people, you know, and tell the truth, not just what I say or what I think. I want them to hear other people that are men of God and women of God, you know, let them know this is the truth, you know. Come on, you know.
It's the truth.
So, anyway, tell us how to get this book, Hypocrisy in the Church.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. So, if you would do this, if you go www.takingoffthemask.com.
Wow.
That's takingoffthemask.com.
www.takingoffthemask. And the show is called Unmasked. Ain't that something?
That's right. That's our site. That's the official site. www.takingoffthemask.com. You can order from anywhere in the world. takingoffthemask.com. We are kindred spirits. When I heard you talking, I thought, this is divine connection. Yeah. But that's how you go. People have been from all over the place, New York, D.C., Florida, all over the place. They've been going to the same site, www.takingoffthemask.com. You can place your order, and it'll be to you within a couple of days, and we get them out, and we're really excited that people are really responding, and a lot of reviews coming back saying how it has impacted and changed lives.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal because they haven't had too many books out there that were a person that clergy is showing their wounds and exposing their wounds for people to see, you know. And see, that's the reason why this book is phenomenal, because it's not sitting there trying to be pretentious and want to just read scriptures and it's talking about how a man, because before you put on a collar, you're still a man. You know, you put your pants on, one at a time, just like I do. You know, and we all are being, you know, teased and tempted, because Satan, he came here to devour, and his time is running out. He's going to be slick. He's going to put that good-looking man in my face and that good-looking woman in your face. And you're like, hey,
you know,
I like to see beautiful things, and sometimes I get caught up. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that allows me to get my mind right when I say, Lord, give me wisdom, the discernment of wisdom, and being fearless and being bold in the word. Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. You know, and I hear you talk that, and a lot of people, what you just said, a lot of people in church, you see, this is where the hypocrisy comes. They try to act like, oh, I don't have that. Yeah, you do have feelings. There's a piece in the book, I have fun with it. I said, just fun facts. See, God, like, well, just because you say it don't mean you lost this desire. And this. I mean, come on. Listen, there's a scripture, right?
I might be single, but listen, I can't wait till I get another man.
You better believe. Listen, there's a scripture. God says, okay, husband and wife. He tell you why. See, he said, even if you want to go on a fast, he said, get permission. He said, so you want to go on a fast, okay. He said, get permission. And then even when you get permission from your spouse, do it for a short period of time. And he says this, lest Satan take advantage of your incontinency. Now, that word incontinent, when we started our assisted living facility for the elderly, one of the requirements that separate us from a nursing home and assisted living, is that in order to be in our assisted living, you can't be incontinent. That means you incontinent. I can't hold my bowel. I can't hold my urine. If you can't hold your urine or your bowel, that means you got to go to a nurse home. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, you can come to assisted living. And so God says, he used this word. He says, don't go on a fast too long, ladies. Make sure you go on. We're trying to go on a 40-day fast. Go on a 2-3-day fast. Yeah. Then your husband's going to do it. Because he says, because the devil will take advantage of your incontinency. The incontinency, y'all, you can get to a point where this sex drive, this desire is so strong, you won't be able to control it. See, God said, it's like, God, would you let that little bit? No, God says, I know how I made y'all. See, I made you. When I made you, I created you. One of your purposes was to replenish the earth. You have to do a whole lot. You have to do a whole lot of doing it in order to replenish. So I gave you a strong sex drive and a healthy sex drive. And he said, so the devil will take advantage of your income. See, now we don't want to read scriptures like that, right? We act like they ain't in the Bible. But God says, I know
James,
that. That's why he won't let us
pay. Break for one second, baby. I had to stop you, and I apologize for stopping you. We are down
to
seconds. So what I want you to do is promise me you can come back and do a part two.
I will. Part two.
I will definitely call you as soon as I get off this phone here. because we're down to like 8 seconds. God bless you for being here, everybody.
Bless
get
you.
The book, Hypocrisy in the Church. He's coming back, James Allen. He's going to do this thing again to let y'all know. Won't miss it. Y'all won't miss it the second time. So with that being said, have a safe and blessed weekend. I will call you momentarily.
Bless you.
Thank you, Chris,
thank
for being
you.
Here. And bless you, my brother, man of God. I love you. I love a man of
thank
God
you.
Who's telling the truth like it's supposed to be told.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you be safe. I'm going to call you. Everyone,
be
y'all
blessed.
Take care and be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.